Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you are anywhere near a window, look out it. Here in Lower Manhattan, where I am, it doesn't just look like it's snowing. It looks like Manhattan has been shaken and it's one big snow globe. The snow is falling down, the snow is falling up, the snow is falling sideways. It is absolutely gorgeous. So if you are anywhere near a window, look out that window right now. Well, we are doing our best on this program in the financial crisis to help you not feel isolated. So many of our listeners have been helping other listeners with our segments on what to do first when you get laid off, how to file for COBRA, for unemployment, and much more. Now, how to avoid recession scams. It turns out the economic downturn is not bad for everybody trying to make money. Judging from our inbox, the scammer business is thriving. In good times, the get-rich-quick scams were most popular. Now that we're not in so good times, scams are adjusting by promising to protect you from debt collectors or to help you avoid foreclosure. But some of these are scams, and the sad thing about this is that desperate people are falling for these hoaxes. Bob Frick, senior editor of Kiplinger's Personal Finance, is here now to talk with us about some of these new scams and how you can avoid them. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brian. Great to be here.
And listeners, we will open up our inbox and our phones right away for your questions or your stories of recession-based scams. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to post your story or your question, or call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So why don't you just jump into some of the most popular scams?
Well, as you mentioned, the downturn is fertile ground for scam artists, and you have to kind of give them their due. Some of these are ingenious. Anything that you see in the headlines, they're going to take and turn into a scam. One of the most, I think predatory and particularly nefarious is the debt negotiation scam. So many people are, burdened with debts right now and facing bankruptcy. So probably just when you turn on your computer in the morning, you'll get some offers to relieve debts, and they'll supposedly negotiate your debts for you, and you'll only pay pennies on the dollar.
So how does that go? I mean, there's legitimate debt consolidation, too. How do you know if you're being scammed?
Well, the thing is, you need to look yourself. If you're waiting for someone to come and offer you help, then 9 times out of 10, that's going to be a scam artist. So what you need to do is be proactive. You know, go to your bank, go call a financial planner. There are plenty of places. Call the Attorney General's office. There are plenty of places where you can go, and you can seek legitimate credit counseling agencies. www.nfcc.org is a place where you can get started. But the terrible thing is you'll pay these people, hundreds of dollars, and they'll ask for more and ask for more. And months will go by, and you'll think that your debts are being taken care of when, in fact, you're falling further into debt. And next thing you know, the sheriff will be at your door repossessing your car or your house.
So those are scams telling you that they'll help you consolidate your debt. There are also ones saying they'll help you avoid foreclosure. How does that usually go? What's some of the language there?
Well, the promises are always grand. We can delay or avoid your foreclosure, renegotiate your mortgage. And the sad thing is more than half of homeowners who are late on their mortgage payments don't even know that their lenders have programs to help them. So instead of going to their lender, who they look on as the person who's trying to foreclose and the enemy, they turn to criminals who are more than happy to take their money and do nothing. And worse than that, sometimes they'll have them sign over their car or give them their bank account information, and they'll drain those dry too.
Another one is bank phishing cons, and we'll explain the word phishing for people who don't know it, phishing with a PH at the beginning, where someone will tell you that your bank is being bought by another bank, so you need to give the new bank your information.
Right. And with all the problems with banks these days and consolidations and banks going out of business, I mean, this is a natural. These bank phishing scams have been around for a long time, but we've seen the number of them multiply dramatically just in the last 6 months.
All right. Now, listeners, I said this is part of our series of listeners helping other listeners survive the recession and not feel isolated. People may not know when they're being scammed and when they're being offered some useful commercial product that might help them with their economic troubles. So we want to hear from you right now, 212-433-WNYC. Talk about that scam that you saw as a pop-up window on your computer. Talk about that unsolicited phone message that came in. Did you fall for anything? Are you willing to admit it? Suffer the embarrassment to help somebody else avoid the same fate, or anything else that you've seen that you think might be a recession-based scam? Yeah. Our guest, Bob Frick from Kiplinger's Personal Finance, can help us sort it out. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post your stories or your questions about recession scams to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Sue in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Sue.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good, and you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
There's a woman that lives next door to me. She's a retired nurse, and I think she's the victim of scams. And she can't pay her rent, and she has a big bill for Con Ed, and her phone was turned off.
What makes you think she's being the victim of scams?
She has a lot of I went to visit her to see if I could do something about the phone, but I've recently been laid off, so I don't have money that I can just give her if it's a large amount. So she has all these bills in her little pile of bills that say, you know, you owe $3,000, you owe $2,000, and they look like they're companies that collect, like they maybe put together the money to help her. But I think that I was just wondering if there's some way that I could get somebody in there to discover financially what has happened to her, because I think she has Meals on Wheels and maybe a visiting nurse now and then, but I don't think she has anybody
dealing with her finances.
Oh,
Bob,
yeah,
Frick, help Sue help her neighbor.
Well, there's no way that you can get someone to go in and look at her bills. I mean, she has to take that step herself. You need to convince her that you know, she may be that she's in financial trouble and maybe is being preyed upon, and you can offer some resources. My first stop, I think, would be to have her call the state attorney general's office and tell her about some of these people who may be, you know, trying to help her. They not only can arrest the crooks, but they can give her the resources to help her get her finances in order.
I can't do that for her. I can't call the attorney general's office for her.
No. I mean, you could, but...
Oh, she could. She could. She could start and say, I have a neighbor. I'm concerned about my neighbor, and tell them exactly what you told us, and I'm sure they would help you start.
I did ask her if she would accept help, if I could find help for her.
And?
And, you know, it's just that since I'm not a relative, I didn't know what my boundaries were.
Is she resistant? Is she hearing you? Are you saying explicitly to her that you think she's being scammed?
Yeah, I did. And she has these contest things that come to her, and they say, send $20 if you want to see if you win $300 million. And she actually believes some of those. And I got her to tear some of them up. But I think she's a little demented starting on that. She's been a nurse. She's a retired nurse. She's a very smart woman, so believes in her intelligence. And then,
so you're a good neighbor. Good luck helping her out, and I hope we helped you a little bit. I would say call the attorney general yourself and at least ask them what it is that you can do within the bounds of the law. Bob Frick, here's a post from our website. Somebody says cable channels are filled with ads from companies saying they can help you in the recession. Are they necessarily legit because they're on cable TV?
No, they're absolutely not necessarily legit. You'll see that the FTC, who is responsible for cracking down, as well as, you know, state securities types, often lag in their enforcement of even, you know, pretty obvious, you know, scams and cons. So you may see one month, and there'll be another one the next month, and another one the next month. And what they're doing is they're just keeping ahead of the regulators.
William in Norwalk, you're on WNYC. Hi, William.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
Hey, the ones that I've received have been mostly through email, and I received a lot this summer, and they were mostly about saving on gas. Buy this, and you'll save on gas, or this new chip will give you the secret to the engine, and now you'll be able to do 60, 100 miles to the gallon. And the typical saying that I won the lottery in Australia or England, you know, I've never been there. So difficult to win the lottery without buying it.
These sound familiar, Bob Frick?
Oh, absolutely. And anything you get in the email, you need to spike, because there's absolutely, I mean, I get these things all the time, too, and I follow up on some of them just out of curiosity. And I have never seen, for example, Housing and Urban Development contact me and say, gee, can we help you out with your mortgage? I've never seen the FTC contact me and say, oh, by the way, you've won a lottery. You've won the lottery. You just have to pay the tax on it, and we'll forward you your winnings.
Huh.
It just doesn't work that way, but you'll see these scams, you know, all the time.
William, good luck. Anna Lynn in Brooklyn has some advice for Sue and her neighbor. Anna Lynn, right?
Hi. I really didn't want to go on the air because I have no voice, but for anybody who wants to help an elderly neighbor, and that neighbor is getting Meals on Wheels or something, those Meals on Wheels are coming from an agency that may have a case manager or a social worker, and that would be another person. The social worker can't give you information about the person, the elderly person, but they can give you, they can maybe join forces with you to approach the elderly neighbor on different ways that this person might be helped. And the social worker would be sometimes very happy to know that there's somebody else helping this elderly person who may be living alone and may seem isolated.
That's a really good point. And Anna Lynn, your voice held up just fine. Now back to the hot tea. And Diane in North Plainfield also has advice for Sue. Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have elderly in-laws and my parents, and my father's been part of, you know, a scam with the sweepstakes and where people were even calling. And what we've done is people call, want to know if he's there. We say no. I'm sorry, he doesn't live here anymore. Or we send it back in the, you know, the old thing, send back, do not, you know, write to us. We take it off our, please take us off of your mailing list, and we send it back in their envelope. But the biggest thing was helping the elderly neighbors in my neighborhood to go sit with them, make a phone call to the attorney general or to the bank or to the credit card company with your neighbor there. And what they'll do is they'll ask you, are you calling for? And you say, yes. Is that person there? Yes. And then put it on speakerphone so that you can help that neighbor answer the questions to get the help. Because, you know, with the Privacy Act, they won't let you, you know, talk for anybody or get information for anybody.
The speakerphone sounds like a great solution, because then you don't have to hand the phone back and forth and miss out, and you can still kind of do most of the talking if you're the most together person. But the actual victim, maybe the elderly person, is actually on. So that's a really creative solution, Diane. Thank you.
Yeah, that was the point I was trying to make earlier, is you can't, as a third party, contact, for example, the SEC or your attorney general's office.
Right, I understood
that. Speak on someone's behalf, right?
Yes. Frank in Brooklyn says he was scammed. Hi, Frank.
Hi. I was scammed by a company called Nationwide Credit Solutions. They contacted me online. I asked them what I could do to pay my credit cards. They said they had a solution where for 6 months I would stop paying my creditors and I would send them $250 a month, and then when my creditors made a deal, they would send me the money back. After 5 months, I stopped hearing from this company, and that's after $1,750 went to the company. And the thing I learned is when I'm desperate to take some time off and think about it before contacting anybody, because I thought, you know, I'm a New Yorker. I have street savvy. I won't get ripped off. Well, I got ripped off because I was desperate.
Bob Frick from Kiplinger's. Frank is the poster boy.
Yeah, and I mean, Frank shouldn't be ashamed, because as we saw recently with the Bernie Madoff situation, you know, the rich and sophisticated are just as likely to be preyed upon and to be fooled as, you know, regular people like us. So the problem, I think, is that people go into a situation, and if they see something online and there's a phone number, and I just Googled that agency, and I see that they're alive and well and based out of Texas, you think it's legitimate. But you can even check the Better Business Bureau, and they'll say they're legitimate. But the problem is there's such a lag between when a regulator can go after someone like this, that there's a window of opportunity there that a lot of people don't realize.
I even contacted a detective in Irving,
Texas.
Yeah. No help at all. He couldn't really do anything.
Now, did they just cease having contact with you, or did they say that they've solved your problems and you're on your own?
They ceased having contact with me. I wrote them back. They sent me emails, but the emails were never signed. They said I signed the contract, which I did. That's another foolish thing I did, because I signed the contract, and they said, oh, please, ignore that, Prince. You know, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. So the contract gets them out of anything I, you know.
Frank, thank you for disclosing all of that. It's really helpful to other folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And we're almost out of time with Bob Frick from Kiplinger's Personal Finance about recession scams. Real quick, I mentioned phishing with a PH before. What is it, and how do you know if somebody's phishing for you?
Well, if somebody asks you to disclose your bank account numbers and your passwords, then you're being phished, because no legitimate company, your bank or anyone, will ever ask you for those things online.
And Mel from the Bronx writes, I took a robocall this morning saying we've been trying to contact you about your credit card bill. When I called back and spoke with an operator, I learned they were trying to lower my interest rate. I asked which card they were from, MasterCard and Visa, they thought. He says, I thought they were in competition. And when I started asking questions, I was hung up on. So Bob Frick, senior editor of Kiplinger's Personal Finance, you got a website or something where people can go to report recession scams or find out more if they think they're being scammed?
Actually, you can go on our website, Kiplinger.com, and we have a recession scam quiz up there right now,
really?
Which has about 50,000 people have taken it, and it'll help you kind of fine-tune your financial reflexes so you don't get scammed.
Bob, this has been great, really useful. Thank you very, very much.
You bet.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we will meet the 30-year curators of the downtown art fixtures known as Broken Kilometer and Dia Earth. Stay tuned.